Our pericope of scripture this morning is Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that destroyed for want of judgment. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. My text is verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. This is the word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. May he bless the reading and the preaching of it. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, Proverbs teaches many things. Contrasted is the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. But the book of Proverbs is especially about the instruction and the training of fathers to children, and that's how this chapter also begins. A wise son heareth his father's instruction. But our text speaks not only about the relationship between parents and their children, but you'll notice it includes grandchildren. That is the relationship between grandparents and grandchildren. When I look at the audience, I see grandparents and I see great-grandparents. So our text has a covenantal perspective. God gathers his church. He gathers his children in their generations. We as parents and as grandparents desire to leave an inheritance for our children. What do you desire to leave? What are you working hard at to pass on? My theme for this passage is passing on an inheritance. Passing on an inheritance. Notice what this means, how we do this, and thirdly, why we do this, the blessed future. What, how, why? Passing on an inheritance, what does this mean? And we have to ask, first of all, well, what is this inheritance? What type of an inheritance? I am of that age where I have stood at the graveside of my parents. And I'm not getting younger. My own mortality stands before me. What will I leave my children and my grandchildren? Is it a physical, literal inheritance? That is it money? Is it stocks? Is it jewels? What do you children hope to receive? Riches, stocks, wealth? What do you have your eye on? Many commentaries, when they speak on this text, say that this text is about being a good saver and being a good steward so that we'll have something to give to our children. Quite a few years ago, when Byron had a men's conference, there was a section on finances, and a gentleman spoke regarding saving for his old age because he wanted to have a nest egg to leave for his children and his children's children. That, beloved, is not what this text is speaking about. It is not a physical inheritance. The reason for that is that that is not practical. Let's take this text for the New Testament church. They were scattered. They were persecuted. Many of them had to move with their children and their children's children. They didn't have anything to pass on as far as physically. But let's look at the text itself. The text speaks about a good man. Does that mean that if you don't have any physical things that you can pass on to your children, then you're not a good man? Or does it mean, conversely, that if you're wealthy and you can pass on prosperity and money, savings accounts, then automatically you're a good man? And the answer is no. My father let his children know early on that he would be leaving more than half of his estate to kingdom causes. We should not be so hard-pressed, concerned with leaving an estate for our children to fight over or to squander on themselves. No, we need to look at and interpret this Old Testament passage in the light of the New Testament. What we have is Old Testament types and shadows. What is this inheritance? And I submit to you, it's a spiritual inheritance. Oh, yes, it had a physical component, but interpreted by the New Testament, it was something spiritual. That inheritance was the land of Canaan. The Lord gave this land to his people. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 13, we read, "Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self and saidst unto them, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto you and to your seed, and they shall inherit it forever." And so, boys and girls, you'll remember in Joshua's day that the Lord gave the land to Israel. Each tribe had its own inheritance, and each family in the tribe had its own inheritance. And it was their responsibility to pass it on, pass it down to their children and to their children's children. I said, yes, it has a physical component. It was the land of Canaan, wasn't it? But it really wasn't about just a piece of land or real estate. It was not the land itself that had all the value. That land of Canaan was a type of heaven. But what lies at the heart of the land of Canaan? What lies at the heart of heaven? The significance was that possessing this land represented their life with God. At the heart of the land of Canaan was the city of Jerusalem. And in that city of Jerusalem, there was the temple. And there in the temple was the Ark of the Covenant with its mercy seat. A picture of God dwelling with his people. And one's presence then in the land represented one's life that one had with the Lord Jehovah, their God. The inheritance was essentially Jehovah himself. We read, don't we, in Psalm 16, verses 5 and 6, which was our call to worship, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." The inheritance that Solomon is speaking about in our passage is a permanent inheritance. It doesn't waste away. It doesn't devaluate. It doesn't rust or decay. It lasts. It is a permanent inheritance, unlike the physical things that pass away. There is a contrast in most of these verses of Proverbs. And there is a contrast in the first part of our text and the last part of the text. It talks about the good man passing on an inheritance to his children over against the wealth of the wicked, which passes away. Ours is a permanent inheritance. We read in Hebrews 9, verse 15, that they that are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Doesn't pass away. 1 Peter Chapter 1, verse 4, we are being kept to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Do you possess that inheritance? Do you cherish that inheritance? And I ask those questions because you'll remember, boys and girls, that Esau sold his inheritance. Or you'll remember from catechism that the tribe of Dan didn't like their inheritance. They left the land that was allotted to them, going way north, finding another territory for themselves. They rejected their inheritance. The Old Testament saints not only received this inheritance, the land of Canaan, with God dwelling in their midst, and they were to pass on that inheritance. And it affected everything that the Old Testament saint would do. First of all, they would never sell it. Boys and girls, remember that story about Naboth? When wicked King Ahab, looking out of his palace, he wanted that vineyard that was next to him. And he comes with threats and he comes with an offer even to give him better land. But Naboth would not sell or trade his inheritance away because he was thinking of his children and his children's children. Not only would he not sell it, but the Old Testament saint would care for that inheritance. He would care for the land. He would care for getting the weeds out and making it productive. Didn't want to go into disarray. Thirdly, he wasn't only interested in his own land, but he was also concerned about the land around him, the land of Canaan. If the enemy occupies the territory right next to him, it would affect him. So in other words, there is a concern for the strength of the whole. It wasn't always that way. You'll remember in the time of the judges that every man and every tribe did was right in their own eyes. But when they had a unifying king, then they did not think individualistically, but they were concerned with the whole. Beloved, that's important today. I had a man when I was down in Florida. We were trying to do work there. And he says, I really don't care about others. He says, I just want to make sure that my family and my children hear the word of God. We must not think individualistically, my family only, but we think about the Church of Jesus Christ, the welfare of other saints and their families. That Old Testament saint, then in the home, the godly parent, the godly grandparents would explain to the coming generations the why, the how, and the therefore. Why do we have this inheritance? Well, because God chose us and he chose to give us this land. How did God give it to us? Well, we used to be there in Egypt. But by the blood over the doors, the angel of death passed over ours. We were delivered from bondage. We were brought by a pilgrimage, a difficult pilgrimage, to the promised land. That was the why, that was the how, and then there's the therefore. Therefore, we must love God. Therefore, we must obey God. Therefore, we must live in the land. Therefore, we must pass this down from the generations to come. That's the Old Testament. The land of Canaan, a picture of dwelling in covenant relationship with God, passing that down to the generations. What does it mean for us? The Lord is our inheritance. The Lord is our portion. That means we may not despise that inheritance like Esau, who sold it, or Dan who discarded it, searching for something better. It means we have to care for that inheritance, our relationship with the Lord. We have to be concerned for our family, to be concerned for the whole church around us. It means that we will also explain the why and the how and the therefore. Why do we have this relationship with God? It's because God has chosen us in sovereign election. Why do we have this inheritance? Because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed for our sins, redeeming us. Therefore, we serve the Lord with gladness. What do we hand down? The knowledge, the love, the trust in the Lord Jehovah Himself. What we hand down is covenant life with God through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means, beloved, two things. We pass down the truth of God. We pass down all of the scriptures. We pass down the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, how Jesus Christ was crucified for us and rose again. We pass down that heritage as it has been given to us as Protestant Reformed people, a reformed heritage. That means we pass down our confessions. We defend those confessions. We will not sell them. It means there's an interest in the church. Precious truths that are taught in our homes, in the church, and in our Christian schools. But we pass down not merely the truth, but we also pass down, second of all, what does it mean to live the truth? Our life. Our example, godly, sanctified living. We pass down, what does a person of faith look like? I'm afraid many times in our past, we've been strong on the first one. What is the truth? We have the truth. And we've been weak on the second. What does it mean to live the truth? For, beloved, it's not just something up in the head or something on the lips, but it's lived, backed up with a living confession. What does it mean to be a child of God? Practical godliness, living the truth. Both components need to be there. They need to be there every day in every sphere of life. What does John write? 3 John 3, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Notice John doesn't say merely that my children know the truth intellectually, but no greater joy have I than to hear that my children walk in the truth. That is the inheritance. Walking in the truth, a living relationship with God in Christ Jesus. Now, how do we go? That's the second point. How do we go about passing down that inheritance? And quite obviously, it's evident that you and I do not have that ability to work that life in our children. We don't have that ability. As far as an earthly inheritance, I can go to the lawyer tomorrow and I can draft up a will, and when I die, it's automatically my children's. But the spiritual inheritance, that is the work of God. That is inheritance that our children receive not only when we die, but already now, already in our lifetime. God has to work that relationship in hearts and lives, but God uses means, doesn't he? It is in the way of godly parents and godly grandparents, passing down the truth of the gospel and passing down what it means to live the truth. That God blesses, that God calls, and God forms his children and gives us inheritance. Notice from our verse, we read a good man. That word good means, first of all, a spiritual person. One who himself or herself loves the Lord, loves spiritual things, loves and cherishes the children the Lord has given to him or the grandchildren given to him. But not only a spiritual person, a good person is one who is useful, one who is beneficial, one who is selfless, one who is thoughtful, one who is constantly thinking, how can I provide for the spiritual good of my family? Our text speaks of a good man. Yes, that's in italics, a good man. But I want to emphasize that a moment because that speaks of headship, doesn't it? That is not to lessen the importance and the duty of Christian mothers and grandmothers. We know of young Timothy that the faith that was worked in him was by his mother and grandmother, Eunice and Lois. We don't know about his father. Obviously a Greek man, maybe not a believer, maybe he died early, but it was mother and grandmother that passed on the faith to him. And in our homes, if the husband turns away from the faith or denies the faith, then the mother has to take over. But men here, fathers, heads of the home, you are in charge of the spiritual welfare of those whom God has given to you, whether it be children or grandchildren. It's a rather personal sermon for me. It's one that I preached with the baptism of my 22nd grandchild. And I had to wrestle with, what am I leaving my children and my grandchildren? The head of the home must chart the way for their family. It's covenantal. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children and his children's children. Parents to children, grandparents to children's children. Love the Lord, and the fruit of it, you pass on to your children that which is in your own heart and life. Notice in the text, a good man leaveth. This is not a one-time occurrence, but it's a continuous activity. Constantly, constantly with words and with example, all life long, a good man leaves an inheritance. So how do we leave down this inheritance with our children, with our children's children? First, by setting forth the truth. And in order to set forth the truth of God's word, we first of all have to possess it in our own hearts and lives, don't we? We need to know and to love the truth. That's what I want my children and my grandchildren to say about me. Sundays were a special day. Sundays, Dad would bring us to church. Dad would care about the catechism instruction. Dad would lead in the devotions around the table. Dad led the home in such a way that I know the truth. And as I said, instruction and example. Does or did what Dad did or Grandpa did show that he loved the truth? For my own self, My children had to ask the questions, and my grandchildren will, why did I leave my old denomination? It wasn't the case that my elders in that church wouldn't allow me to preach the truth of God as we have it. They did. But where did I want to leave my children in that apostate and apostatizing denomination? Where did I want them growing up and finding their mates? Where did I want them marrying and having their children, their homes? So we pass on the truth by word and by example. Second of all, we pass on this inheritance, this relationship with God, by a love for the church. For the church is where God works and strengthens faith, isn't it? The good man loves the church. And today there is nothing worse for the family than the person who is always critical of the denomination or of their church or of their pastor or of the preaching or of the elders. If the head of the home is always critical, finding fault with the denomination or the church or the pastor, why should the children or the grandchildren love the church? And every church has those critical members. And I can think of many different examples of those fault-finding men, most, if not all, of their children left our churches. Pass on that relationship with God by a love for the church, for our churches. Thirdly, pass on the inheritance by your own support for our good Christian schools, where our children are formed and are prepared to serve the Lord in this world, to be in the world and not of the world. Those who are older like I am, we don't have the children in the school any longer. Maybe some of us wipe our brow when the tuition bills aren't there anymore. But hopefully we're not done with our good Christian schools. You as a church have shown your own desire and need for your own Christian school here in the north end of Grand Rapids. It's important. I can say that now my support of the good Christian schools for our children probably is higher than when my children were in school themselves. Love for, prayers for, financial support for our good Christian schools. Fourthly, we pass on that inheritance by our own life in the family. By the head of the home working diligently at a godly marriage. Why is that so important? Because it is a picture of that unbreakable bond between Jesus Christ and his church. How the devil wants to destroy the home by destroying marriages. The good man who wants to pass on an inheritance works at his marriage so the children see and hear Dad loves Mom. And Mom loves Dad. And he works in the home so that he is in the home. May our children not have to say, I hardly ever saw Dad. He was always gone. He was never there for me. Christ is always there for his bride. Christ is always there for his family. May our children be able to say, Dad loved Mom, and yes, Dad loved his children. Pass on the inheritance by having a strong family life. Pass on the inheritance, fifthly, by the very way that we face our own mortality and death. As we get older, there will be infirmities of old age. There will be sorrows and trials. But when we face the end, we look at our children, we're able to say, "Fear not. I'm leaving. I'm leaving. But for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I have the victory. I am at peace." So the important calling. What? A relationship with God through Christ Jesus, passed on by word and by example. Now finally, the third point, why? Why are we to pass on this inheritance? This is our calling, beloved. This is our calling. There's urgency in it. The earth is passing away. One day, I will not be here. Are you ready for heaven? Have you prepared your children? Have you prepared your grandchildren? Have you passed on the inheritance? No, as I said before, we cannot instill in our children, we cannot instill in our grandchildren life with God. The salvation of our children, the salvation of our grandchildren is not dependent upon parents, thank God for it. Only the sovereign grace of God in Christ Jesus does that. But God is pleased to use means. Godly parents recognize their duties. God's promise is, "I will save you and your children in the way of your passing on the inheritance." There's urgency. There's urgency. I'm going to take the words of John chapter 9, which we're presently studying in our Bible study indoor. John 9, verse 4, Jesus says, "I must do this, the works of him that sent me, while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work." Urgency. For us who are living, it is still day. The night cometh when no man can work. Urgency to pass on. For we remember that in Israel there grew up a generation that knew not the Lord nor what the Lord had done. Love the truth. Live the truth. Pass on the truth. Forsake it not. Oh, the blessedness of this calling. The blessedness because of God's promise and God's work. It is God himself who said, "I will be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee." What a blessedness then of parents. What a blessedness of grandparents when they can speak about these things, these very important things, these life and death things to our children. As the psalmist says, "Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me." Have you done that? Have you made it very personal? Have you sat down with your children? Have you sat down with your grandchildren and said, "This is the way the Lord led me. This is what the Lord means to me"? Blessedness. Blessedness when we as parents and as grandparents see the Lord's hand in the lives of our children and of our grandchildren. When our little children are singing that song, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." The blessedness of hearing our children singing in the Sunday school programs. The blessedness of hearing our young people giving a good confession of their faith before the church. The blessedness of seeing our young people marrying in the Lord, the blessedness of seeing these young people beginning their own godly homes and families. There is blessedness in our calling because of the permanence of our inheritance. I said in the book of Proverbs, and you saw it in most of these verses, there's a contrast. The contrast between the righteous and the wicked, and the end of the righteous and the end of the wicked. And so we have here a contrast. Verse 22, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. In contrast to that, the wealth of the wicked, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. It's taken away. The sinner in our passage is the reprobate. That person who has rebelled against God and his word. He might have houses, he might have property, he might have fame, he might have riches. But that trust fund that he has is not a blessing but a curse. All is taken away. And he is cast away eternally. The wealth of the sinner is given to the just. Do you remember what happened in Egypt when God called his people forth and the Egyptians heaped upon the Israelites their earthly possessions, their gold and their silver? Or do you remember what happened to Israel when God gave them the land of Canaan and the homes and the vineyards and the orchards and the fields were given to God's people? The wealth of the sinner is given to the just. The just, who are also sinners, but sinners saved by grace. Sinners who are forgiven. Sinners who love and cling to the Lord Jesus. Sinners who are made just and righteous by faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, by God's grace alone. What a glorious hope and future. There's a separation. The wicked, God will wipe away, all of them, cast into hell, and all their wealth is given to the saints. As we read in Matthew 5, verse 5, the meek will inherit the earth. The earth and the fullness thereof. Now the church in this world is a small remnant, isn't it? It seems like the wicked are prospering. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. The good man passes on an inheritance to his children's children. But the wealth of the sinner is given to the just. What legacy, what permanent inheritance do I want to leave to my children, to my children's children? Psalm 16, the Lord is my inheritance. Or as Jeremy the prophet says in Lamentations 3, verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. It's not merely God's grace, it's not merely God's love, but it is his covenant relationship. I am by grace a son or a daughter of God, and he is my God. He has chosen us for this inheritance, and therefore we choose him for ours. It's true. The Lord first must choose us and choose our inheritance for us, else we'll never choose it for ourselves. But called according to his purpose of electing love, you and I can sing, Loved of my God, for him again with love intense I burn. Chosen of him, ere time began, I choose him in return. He is an all-sufficient portion. We can ask with the psalmist in Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. We delight ourselves in the Lord. We drink of his pleasures. And that which God has given to us in his grace, himself, our relationship with him in Christ Jesus, we desire for our children and our children's children. Pass on. Pass on that inheritance. Amen. Oh, Father in heaven, what a happy, what a blessed people. Grandparents, parents, children. Children, children's are. When they know thee as their God, when they know the truth of thy word, and they walk in that truth. Bless us, Father, then, as thy church. Bless us as various families. Bless us as a denomination. And by thy grace, we may be used by thee to pass on this inheritance. Be pleased, then, to gather us in our generations to thyself in faith, in love, and in obedience. Amen.